This is John Jonas. This is our question and answer call. My partner Dan Goggins is here on the phone too. We, just so everyone knows, we got like 150 questions when we sent this out. So we're not going to be able to answer every question individually. That's going to take like 6 hours. But we'll try and answer all of the questions as best we can. So we'll probably wait another minute because I know that there's still a lot of people coming on this call. So I'm recording the call here. I hope I'm recording it at home, although I couldn't hear the call at home when I called in. Just so you guys know, after we scheduled this call, my wife talked me into going on vacation for 3 days because she's tired of the cold weather. And so I am in a hotel room in St. George. And I just told her, fine, we can go as long as Tuesday afternoon I can do a phone call. So, you know, the lifestyle that I talked about, that we talk about over and over again, really is real. We decided on Thursday she wants to go out of town. I said, okay, that's fine. So, Dan, can you talk? Did you unmute yourself? I can't hear you. So, just so everyone knows, Dan has, you know, as much experience as I do with this stuff, and so I want to get his feedback on things as we answer questions, so because he knows a lot. So, again, this is John Jonas. This is the question and answer call for Replace Myself. We are going to hopefully answer all of your questions. We got like 150 questions for this call, so we're not going to answer everyone individually, but we'll try and answer every one of them, so at least just by giving you guys the information that we want to give you. So a little bit after 2 o'clock my time, so I think I'm probably going to get started. Dan, whenever you're on, just talk, speak up, I think he's going to call back in. So okay, so the biggest question that I think we get from people is about hiring people in the beginning and the problems and the difficulties that people have with hiring and who should they hire and how should they hire them, and they're not responding and I haven't hired someone yet. So let me tell you my experience with this. And I've been through this over and over and over again. And I just hired someone this week, actually. She's supposed to start on Thursday. Well, she's actually begging me to start right now. I said, you can't start yet because I don't have your instructions done yet. But here's the process that I go through, and here's what I think will take care of most of the problems that people have. When I go through best jobs to hire someone, I am looking for a single qualification. If I'm looking for someone who might be doing webmaster stuff or writing or online stuff for me, I'm looking for someone who speaks English. That's it. That's the only qualification I'm looking for. And I will email 20 people. And I'll just send them all the same exact message. And so I'll do it over and over again. I will copy the email message into my clipboard so I don't have to – it takes me 10 minutes to email 20 people. The message is – the subject is, are you still looking for a job? The message is, I have a full-time job. It requires this and this and this. Are you still interested? Let me know, John. And so I'll just go in through best jobs and find people that have that single qualification, English. Or we hired someone recently to do phone calling for us. So the qualification was English and phone. Those were the two things I searched for. So then I sent that email to people and I said, I want to talk to you on the phone. And I sent 20 of them. I talked to 4 different people on the phone. And then I think that's kind of the response rate you're going to expect to get when you email people. Is you're going to email a whole bunch, you're going to talk to very few, you're going to hire one. In fact, one of the people that I talked to who I was very interested in, I didn't hear back from him for a couple days, and finally I said, hey, what's up, what's going on? He said, oh, I accepted another job that same day. So I didn't want to disappoint you. So he didn't email me back. Well, I didn't know this before. This is part of their culture. And this is kind of Asian culture in general. They do not want to disappoint you. They don't like to disappoint people. And so when they have disappointing news, they try and keep that to themselves very often. So, you know, this guy, he didn't want to disappoint me, so he didn't say anything. So I had to email him again saying, hey, what's up? And he finally said, oh, I took another job. But here's a friend of mine who was also very qualified. She's interested. Right? Anything to say about that, Dan?
John, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I just got back in because I had to call in because I got muted before.
Okay, okay.
Keep going.
Okay. So, again, you're going to email lots of people. Very few are going to respond. You're going to hire one, okay? I think a lot of the time people, what we hear from people is they have emailed four people and they didn't hear back from any of them, or they heard back from one of them and now it's not working, or they haven't come back to them. It kind of is a numbers game. At least in my experience it is. You have to talk to lots of people. You have to email lots of people. And, like I said in the beginning, make it super simple. Make it fast. Okay. Moving on. When I hire someone, the first thing I do is I give them a difficult first task. The reason for this difficult first task is sometimes people can't do that difficult first task even though I thought they could have, right? And so, all of you guys already know, I require a daily email. So I say, okay, your job is to start, put up a WordPress blog. That's the difficult first task I give almost everybody. I want you to set up a WordPress blog. Here's my hosting account information. Set up a subdomain and set up WordPress. If they can't do that, if they're not willing to do that, and if it takes them more than a couple days to do that, I don't really want them working for me. Right, because they're not willing to figure it out. They're not willing, they're not able to figure it out. That is a very difficult first task for someone who hasn't done it before. For you or I, most of you on this call have probably set up WordPress before. You go into your hosting account, you click on Fantastico, and it takes you three clicks. Very few people know that. If someone already knows that, and it takes them three clicks, and they're done in an hour, perfect. I want you working for me, right? Because that means they already have a significant amount of experience. From resumes, you're often going to have a hard time finding out if that person does, especially for me when my initial qualification is, do you speak English? How well do you speak English? Because down the road, as I have you writing stuff for me, as I have you doing onewaylinks.net, and as I have you doing article submissions, and as I have you doing videos for me, and as I have you writing comments on blogs, that English is the single most important skill. Especially if I can then have you doing phone calls for me later because you speak really good English. All right, so that's why I tell you that's the single qualification I'm always looking for. If they can't figure out how to set up WordPress, if they don't know how to do it, okay, I'll move on. I'll go back to one of the other four people who responded to my initial email and say, hey, I still have this opening. Are you still interested? Oftentimes, I have found that they have already found another job. But if you say, do you know anybody else? Most of the time, they do. They have friends that are looking for jobs. I have people, in fact, the last two people that I've hired, while I was doing it, they say, hey, I have a friend who's also looking for a job. Is your company also hiring? Well, not right now, but I'm pretty sure I can find you a job, right? So, which that's another question that we had from people is, it's just me running this company. And I don't want them to know that I'm just a small company. They'll go find a job from a bigger company. I don't think so, at least not in my experience. People just want a job. They just want a paycheck. They don't care if it's small or big. They need money. So I wouldn't worry about having them be concerned that it's just you and not a big telemarketing company, which there are lots of those, so they're very familiar with that. The only thing that they may be concerned about is getting paid. And so we've had this happen a couple times where people said, we're very concerned about getting paid. I'm very concerned about getting paid. I want you to pay me up front. I said, no, I won't pay you up front, but I will pay you biweekly for the first 2 months just so you know you're not going to get ripped off. So that is an option that we will do when if someone is concerned, you're a small company, you're not a big company, or I've been ripped off before. I'll pay you by week. Or if it requires it, we hired a very good PHP programmer recently for $300 a month, and we really wanted him. So if it requires it, I'll pay you weekly. Fine. I'll pay you weekly for a month. I'll pay you biweekly the next month. After that, we're going to pay you monthly. Right? So that's an option. Again, people really just want a job. And if you are offering them a job, they are very likely to take it. So.
Yeah, John, if I can add in.
Yep.
It's just, a lot of these people they're living paycheck to paycheck. You know, they can't go out on their own, or even if they learn a significant amount from you, if they're, you know, working from paycheck to paycheck, you know, week by week, they can't just go, you know, start it on their own. Or it needs capital to create your own business. You know, to run an AdWords campaign, it requires money. You know, a lot of these people simply don't have. And it's kind of also the same thing with, like, you know, why doesn't American employees go out and start their own companies, even when they are the ones that know everything about the business? You know, like, why doesn't a car salesman who does all the sales for a small car company go out and create his own? A lot of people don't want the risk of creating their own company or trying to earn their own money, and you're absolutely right. They just want the paycheck.
Yeah, which that brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about. We get questions a lot, and a lot of the questions that we got when we said we were going to do this call was people who kind of don't understand their businesses. So, and I've said this before, and I feel that I need to say it again. In doing this, you are a boss. You are an entrepreneur. You are a business owner. You have to understand your business. The guy you hire is not going to know your business better than you do. He may know how to build a website, but that doesn't mean he knows how to make sales. He may know how to do article marketing, but that doesn't mean he knows why. So you have to understand why you're doing what you're doing in your business. And if you don't, go find someone else that does. We have made specific recommendations inside of Replace Myself for people who don't know what they're doing online yet. There's a web page in there about business models that we recommend. I have recently made 3 different blog posts on my blog about this also. I think in fact my most recent blog post is called "Which Business Is Better," and maybe it's not the most recent one, but it's on my blog called "Which Business Is Better," where I talk about the business models that I recommend. And the reason I recommended those was because, well, number one, I'm doing them. Number two, because they fit very, very well with outsourcing. You can outsource almost every bit of it. And in fact, I'll tell you what I have outsourced. The Niche Profit Classroom business is about writing ebooks. So I had my people go in and watch all the videos for it. And I said, you know, and I had watched the videos. And just so you know, I watched the videos using a little tool called MySpeed, which speeds up online videos. So if you search MySpeed, you'll find it. I watched all their videos at 2.5 times speed. So it took me like 3 hours, I don't know, something like that. So I understood everything about what was going on. And you know, that comes back to what we're talking about. You have to understand your business, because they don't understand your business. They'll do all the work for your business, but you are the entrepreneur. So you have to understand that. So I went and watched all the videos. I understood everything about it. I had done it in the past. And then I said to my guys, okay, I want you to go watch these videos, and I want you to implement all of it. You know, the first thing is go do the research. So they went out and found me the niche topics to write ebooks on. And then I said, okay, now go give me domain name suggestions, because I don't really want them picking a domain name. So they gave me suggestions. I picked one. Now I want you to build the website. So they went and put up the website. And, you know, I said there's specific videos in there in the system about how to do that. Go put up the website according to how they want it. Done perfectly. I told one of my girls, I want you to write the sales copy. He has some interesting stuff about how to write sales copy. I have some products that I've bought in the past on how to write sales copy. I gave it to her and said, you know, go learn how to write sales copy and go write me a first draft of this. She went and did it. It wasn't great, but it was okay, and we have made sales from it. And I had her refine it, and, you know, the first headline she wrote was terrible. And I said, okay, you know, this headline's not very good, and here's why. Here's an example headline. Go write some more like it. And I said, you know, now that we have this up, I had someone else write the book. I had them write an ebook. Here's the topic. Go write an ebook. Go write a table of contents and do all the research and write the book. And they did. And frankly, the book is better than books that I've gotten in the past from American and Australian writers. Better quality, longer, more content, more well-researched, you know, and it cost me about $200. She, the same person who wrote the ebook also wrote the 10-part mini course, like what Niche Profit Classroom talks about. So, you know, they did all of these things. And I said, okay, now we have this. Let's start testing. Go set up a Google Website Optimizer and start testing on it. And they went and figured out how to do Website Optimizer, and they're testing. So when I say you have to understand your business, I understood the business. I understood the process, right? When you do this, find someone else who knows what they're doing. And if that is Niche Profit Classroom, or if it's the building Joel Peterson's building mini sites, the $3 a day thing, great. Or if it's Step-by-Step Profit, which is another one of mine that I've done in the past. All three of those have very well step-by-step instructions on the business model. And they have step-by-step instructions of how to implement that business model. And so when you hire someone, it's not that difficult to say, okay, I understand the model. Here is the training for you. Go watch the training. Go through the training. Go through the steps and set this up. And when you have a question or when you need something, ask me. So when you don't know what to do about the hosting because we don't have hosting, ask me and I'll get the hosting for you, right? Or depending on where you are in your business, you say, I don't want to hear anything about it. This is what I did. When I went more specifically into Joel Peterson stuff, I sent to one of my guys and said, I don't want to hear anything about this. I just want you to implement it. You have my credit card. Go buy whatever hosting you need. You already have my hosting accounts. Go buy whatever software you need. I don't care. Just go implement it, right? No, okay, this guy has been with me for 3 years, and he's been through a lot of stuff, and he knows. But, you know, when you're starting, go understand the business yourself. Follow someone else's model who already knows what they're doing. And then it's pretty easy to just kind of monitor what they're doing when they send you an email saying, I watched these videos and I set up the website on the hosting account. Can you look at it? Okay, well, here's the problems with the website. You know, you look at it, you say, okay, here's the problems with it now. Go fix them. You certainly shouldn't be going out and saying, oh, here's the problems. Here's how you fix them. Say, here are the problems. Go fix them. Right, you're not here to get yourself another job. You're doing this. You're hiring other people to have them solve your problems for you. Now, you know, again, in order to have those problems, you have to understand what you're doing in your business in order to create problems. But the problem isn't, I don't know what I'm doing. The problem needs to be, I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm doing it. I'm not sure exactly how to do it. I don't know how to build a website. Okay, so moving on from that, here's another question we get quite often, which is, I don't know how long this should take. I don't know how long it should take to build a website because I don't know how to build a website. If that's the case, I can't give you an estimate of how long it's going to take because it totally depends on what you're doing. But I can tell you that putting up WordPress, once someone has done it once, should take a couple hours, right? And, you know, setting up an AWeber account should take a couple hours, or setting up an autoresponder instead of AWeber. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, you're still there.
Okay. Setting up an autoresponder should take a couple hours. Or, you know, think about how long you think it would take you to do this, and then double it, triple it. Give them time to do it. That's kind of my experience with it, where it would take me 10 minutes, it's going to take them 3 hours. But in doing that, I don't ever have to do that task again. I will never set up another autoresponder account or an autoresponder series myself again because my guys know how to do it. I'll never put up WordPress myself again because I don't have to. Okay. I hope that makes sense. Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
No, except for, you know, the very fact that, you know, some people are also concerned about, yeah, they don't know how to create their own websites, and so they don't know how long it should take. But a lot of users are also concerned that because they don't know how to create their own website, they don't see how they can manage someone to do it for them.
Okay. You know, what I'll do is I'll just kind of go through it iteratively where I'll say, here's what I want. You have Jing now. So you can go in and say, here's a website that I like. Here are the instructions. You create a video using Jing. Fire up Jing and in your browser say, I'm looking to create a website about this, and I want to give you some examples, and I want you to go create it yourself. Here's example number one. I really like this website. I like how they did this. Here's example number two. I like this part of this website. I want this piece in our design. here's website number three, I like this one. And so I want you to go create this page. Send that to your guy. They'll watch the video. They can, you know, maybe spend a couple of days creating that. They'll send it back to you, and you'll say, oh, okay, so you misunderstood this. I don't like this part of it. I like this. And here's another website with an example, right? So you send that video to them, and they'll change it. And they'll send it back to you, and you'll say, okay, here's the last things. We need this and this and this changed, right? It took you three iterations. You didn't have to do anything, right? It took you 15 minutes, and you just got that done.
And, you know, I'll go even further. I mean, you also don't know how to do any of the HTML programming or anything, and you don't need to. Like, not every boss has to know exactly how to run their employee's job. Like, the CEO of GM doesn't know how to build a car muffler, you know?
Yeah.
That's why he hires people. You are paying these people for their experience and for their talent and for their knowledge. You don't have to know everything that they do. You just view the results, and you tell them what you want changed. I mean, you're managing them. You don't have to know how they did it. You just have to view the results.
Right. So even with programming, and I'm gonna tell you how we deal with programming, and it's a little bit different because both Dan and I are programmers, and so when we deal with programming, it may be different. But when we do it, we say, here's what we want. I want this feature added to this site, and here's how I kind of want it to work. Please go implement it. And then they'll go out and do it, and they'll do it wrong, but it's mostly done. And I say, okay, now this piece needs to change to be like this, and we need to add this to it. Go do that. And then they'll do it, and it's almost done now. Okay, now add this and this and this. Right? And now it's exactly what I wanted. And I didn't have to spend any time on it. And they didn't get it right the first time, but they got it pretty close. And then I made changes, and then I made changes. So, and I think you'll find that's the case with most of the things you do with them when they do your AdWords stuff. You'll say, I want you to set up this AdWords stuff. The first couple times, you know, you would have screwed it up. They'll screw it up. I screwed it up, but it'll be correct. Now, just to talk about AdWords for a second. Because this question gets asked all the time. How do you trust them to not run you up a $5,000 AdWords bill? It's so easy to lose so much money with AdWords. Set a budget. Tell them don't spend more than $10 a day when you do this. Set it up. There's instead of replace myself, the training is all there. It's if you haven't had AdWords training before, it is way more in detail, way more advanced than you think it is. But the training is all there for them. And so say, you know, watch the training and then go set up my AdWords account and set a budget so that, you know, if you screwed up, we lost 10 bucks. That's not that big of a deal, right? And with most projects, that's how it's going to be. You know, they're going to screw it up, but it's better than you had done it before. And just so you know, this is how I run my business. If it didn't get done because it was up to me, it didn't get done at all. So who cares? If it did get done, recently my guy sent me on a new project. I said, how much money have we spent and how much money have we made? He said, we've spent $40 and we've made $11. I said, okay, cut the bids in half. Right? He cuts the bids in half, and you know that was a couple days ago. Over the next couple days, I'll ask him again at some point, say, how much money have we spent and how much money have we made? And he'll be able to tell me how many conversions are happening. He said, he already told me, you know, we had one conversion on this, but I think it was me that it tracked. I don't think it was someone else who it tracked. So he knows what the conversions are and how to tell what a conversion, you know, where a conversion's coming from and what's going on, right? Well, that's something that otherwise I would have had to go in and say, oh man, I got to figure out how to log into my AdWords account. I got to figure out how to log into my ClickBank account. And I got to figure out, here's a conversion. Oh, man, I don't think these conversions are working. Now I got to go test and see if a conversion. I didn't have to do any of it. He did every bit of it. And I don't know how long it took him. Maybe it took him a week. But it was something I didn't have to do so that I could understand my business better and understand my sales better and understand my marketing better. I hope that was helpful. Anything else, Dan?
Not about that.
Okay. Okay, so here, some specific questions then that I'm reading here from this list. How can I ensure that they're not carrying on two jobs concurrently? Man, this is so hard because I've seen it a couple times where they are. I have a couple solutions for this. Number one, are they making you more money than you're paying them? If they're not, you have a problem. If they're costing you money, maybe they're doing less work than you would hope for them to be doing, they're not making you money, go tell them that and say, I don't know if you're working enough or whatever the situation is. I'm not making enough money to justify paying you, and see what their response is. My guess is their response will be, I'm so sorry, pay me a little bit less and I'll work more. That is, in fact, that happened to me recently where I told a guy, hey, I know you're not working enough. What's going on? He said, I'm so sorry. Don't send me an invoice for this month and I'll work more. Right? So he was willing to take a full month. He just wants the job. I told him to send me the invoice, you know, because I know he's still working and I know that he's still making me more money than I'm paying him. But that's one answer to this. Here's my second answer, and I haven't had this answer for very long. RescueTime.com is a website where they let you install a little application on your computer, or you ask your guys in the Philippines to install this on their computers, and it will track exactly what you're doing on your computer, and it'll aggregate all the time and categorize it all so that you can log in and see a report that says 2.5 hours spent on Facebook, 1.5 hours spent using Dreamweaver, 1 hour in Gmail. So you use this yourself, so you know, wow, I'm wasting a whole lot of time on Facebook. And then you see exactly how much time you're spending on email. Well, when you have your guys do this, it shows you an aggregate for the day. You know, 1.5 hours out of 2.5 hours spent on Dreamweaver. What do you mean 2.5 hours? Only 2.5 hours this day? That's it? So the guy that I was having a problem with, I had him install this, and I told him, I want you to install this as a test. This is not me monitoring you, which it was partly me monitoring him. It was also partly me seeing how are we spending our time. And so I said, I want you to install this as a test and see how are we doing. Well, it turns out that he wasn't working very much. And when I sent him the email again saying, why aren't you working? He said, I'm so sorry. I'll work more. And sure enough, he's working more now. I don't have this problem with anybody else. It was just one person. But, you know, that is a solution, is rescuetime.com. Install that application. It's free for one user. You may just have them use a username and password that you select and have them install it so you can log in and look at their account.
And remember, so you have the employee only do their rescue time when they're working.
Right. That's important. Right. Okay, yeah, rescue time. Let's move on. Let's see what other questions.
What about the, John, you just said that you have the workers invoice you for their payroll. And I get a lot of questions about exactly what you mean by invoice. Do you just have them send you an email saying, I worked the full month, so I need my $300 this month, or how do you do it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I have. In fact, I tell them it's up to them to send me this email. So most of them use BlinkSale.com, and you can just tell your people, go use BlinkSale. Is that right, Dan, BlinkSale?
I just have them email me, like the person
underneath. Okay. I think they send BlinkSale invoices to me, which is a website that sends invoices. And I don't care what the invoices look like. I just want it for business purposes to have, for tax reasons, to have an invoice that says you worked this much and here's the amount of money you owe me. So they go into BlinkSale and they use their invoice template, whatever it is, and they send you an invoice for $300, and that's it. Every month I get that same invoice. Then I know there was another question about this. When I get the invoice, I go over to Zoom, I pay it. It takes them, I don't know, up to 5 days for them to get the money. So when they send the invoice, sorry, go ahead.
Zoom is like instant now once you set it up the first time.
Okay. So once they send the invoice, sometimes I'll spend, I might take a couple of days. You know, maybe they sent it on Friday and I don't get to it until Tuesday. And then I send it, and when you send it, they get an email saying that it was sent to them. I always I always paste in their email address into the last page of the Zoom thing so that they know that the money is there. And then it takes a couple of days for them to get the money, I think. Maybe it's instant. I don't know. So, but that's how we deal with invoices. Then I have that invoice in my email. If I ever get audited by the IRS, I can go back and print them all up and show it to them.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. Even without an invoice, you should be absolutely fine because the IRS, you're showing your Zoom payments. You have your Zoom payment history. You have your emails with that employee that are giving the specific. You're showing them that they are, yes, your independent contractor. And even, you know, we do get a lot of tax questions about, like, you know, what kind of contracts or how do we treat these employees. And so I added to the first training module there on replacemyself.com about a month ago a whole, like, tax question page and example contract page that will explain exactly how we handle them and what we think about those types of questions. So you just go to the first training module. I think it's, like, step 5, like, tax concerns and example contracts. So if you want to take a look at that.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
No problem.
Okay, I'm looking, just going through questions that we have here. If I have requested a daily update on numerous occasions with no response, do I fire this person? Is there a way to make sure that they see the importance? Okay, I've had this problem with a couple of people. If I don't get the daily email, I will give them an ultimatum. And I will say, if I don't get a communication from you every day, except for Saturday and Sunday, I cannot have you working for me. This email is super important to me. It's super important to my life. It's important to how I run my business. I have to have this from you. One of the guys won't send me an email, but he will instant message me every single day. And so at least every day I have a communication from him, an instant message, and I can talk with him every day. Another one, this has just this week become a problem, and so I just need to send that again. One of the things that you may want to do as a solution to that is send an email saying, I want to try something new. Every single day I want you to send an email saying what you did, what problems you ran into, and how I can help you. I've noticed that over the last couple months I get emails from my people saying, no problems today. You know, I did this. Here's what I'm working on. I didn't have any problems today. So they're following it. Now, if you can't get someone to follow it, I would say let them go. And when you go through the last communication saying, you know, I've asked you for this, I don't get it from you, I have to have this for my business. If I don't get it, I can't have you working for me. My guess is they're going to send it to you at that point. If they don't, I would let them go.
Right.
You know, because they're wasting your time. So, which that brings me to people. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, don't get me wrong. I mean, if they missed a day or something, their internet could have gone out, like, right before they were going to email you for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have to be, you know, someone can be with them sometimes. And you could also do something like Remember the Milk, where, you know, rememberthemilk.com lets you send, like, daily reminder emails. So you can set up a daily reminder email to your employees saying, you need to send an update email to me today.
Yeah.
That can also help.
Yeah. Okay, other questions. Why do folks who I send out the initial offer to take so long to respond? That's why I said you've got to email 20 people in the beginning. For the difficult first task, do you ask them to do this before you give them any material, training or otherwise? Yes, I might. In fact, recently I have started sending them into my project plans and saying, go into my project plans and there's some help in there for how to set up WordPress, but I want you to set up WordPress. And if they are willing to go look in my project plan, there are exact instructions on how to set up WordPress for it. If they can't do that, I don't want them working for me. So let's see. I hired a software programmer and he's working, but now he's flaking out on me and not working for it. So here in this case, it's very possible that he figured out he couldn't do what you asked him to do, and he doesn't want to disappoint you, so he's not telling you that. If you don't, I would email him 2 more times, saying what's going on. I haven't heard from you, and if you don't get a response back, I would say that's the end of that, and move on and find someone else. I would also ask them, saying, you know, I understand if you can't do this work, please send me what you already have done. And I wouldn't pay them unless they give you some reason to pay them, but I wouldn't. So, and that's one of the reasons why I don't pay up front. I won't do it. I will only pay after someone has done work. So.
And John, what do you say to people that some employees who say they missed a couple of days of work because their daughter was sick or they had to go to a funeral?
Yeah, you know, I got an email today from someone saying I need to be out of town three days next week. Is that okay with you? So that was something that, you know, Dan, I don't know if you remember this, but we sent this to our people early on. We always tell them, it's fine if you have to take days off. I just want to know ahead of time. Your daughter's sick, send me an email that morning. Or you're going out of town for Holy Week, fine. Just let me know ahead of time so that I don't expect you to be there and you're not there. So that's something that we're very clear about. If someone, you know, it's kind of an individual basis on, you know, my daughter's sick and I haven't been able to work for 3 days. My experience is that they're very honest, and that's not normally something they would make up. But, you know, you need to kind of feel it out and see, is it worth it for me to push this? And is it worth it for me to, you know, push you as an employee saying, I don't really believe you, compared to how good of an employee are you? You know, how much money and time and hassle do you save me? So that I don't really have a better answer than that, other than, you know, that's an individual basis thing, and you just need to see, are you making me money or is this constant? Are you constantly a problem? In which case, you know, I would let them go. I have had that constantly a problem, and I took care of it by installing rescue time and said, hey, what's going on here? Why aren't you, what's going on? You know, he was someone I did not want to let go. He was a very good programmer and a good designer, which is super, super rare. And at some point I finally said, you know, even if he's not working full time for me, he's still making me more money than I'm paying him. And he saves me so much time, it's ridiculous, that I'm okay if he has two jobs, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm
questions about the, you know, how do you keep, you know, in your opinion, how do we keep our people motivated and engaged?
You know, every once in a while, we send them an email saying, how is your life? How is your job? How do you like what you do? Are you happy? What can I do for you? How can I help you? Basically me talking to a person instead of me talking to an employee, me talking to a friend saying, what, you know, is your life good? What can I do? On occasion, I'll get something back from them saying, you know, this would help. Most of the time it's, I absolutely love working for you guys. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much. But that is something that I will do. And then, like I've said before, I will give a bonus. One of my guys did something really good recently. I don't even remember what it was, but I'd asked him to do something. He did such a great job with it and caused me zero hassle. And it was something I just said, I want you to go figure this out. Go do this. And I didn't want to hear anything more about it. I said, wow, you did such a great job. Here's $50. Here's an extra $50. And I think he's super happy with that. So that's something that I'll do, is both email praise and sending money. So
yeah, you know, I'll also add that, you know, we also give consistent pay raises. You know, if they do a good job, you know, and they're continuing to do a good job, you know, even if it's a small pay raise, something showing that, you know, if they stick with you, they are going to make more money over time. Like, I just gave one of our employees a $25 pay raise. I mean, that's nothing. $25 a month on top of $300 is only $325. But it shows them that his income is growing and that we are serious about keeping him on. That we appreciate him. And another thing, John, you know, with the, you know, I know what employee you're talking about. You know, we emailed him saying, you know, how's your life? And he was saying that he was kind of in a slump and, you know, wasn't feeling motivated to, you know, to keep working. So what he said is, I would love to have a laptop so I could go, like if I needed to go somewhere or to just get out of my room, I could still go and get my programming work done. And so what we did, it was almost Christmas time, so you have the 13th month bonus. So it would have cost him three times more money to buy a laptop in the Philippines, because you know, that's just how much laptops cost there and other electronics. So we shipped him a laptop instead of the 13th month bonus. And that has made him, you know, that was a year and 4 months ago. That was back in 07. At the end of 07, and he stayed with us, and he's been an excellent employee for us.
Yeah, he'll never leave. You know, as just a, you know, this is an aside, just our experience with this. We actually shipped two laptops that time. The laptops each cost us $450 to buy the laptops, and it cost us $300 to ship them. Those two employees will never leave us. And so we have an excellent employee, and now one another one who has been with me already for 3 years, and now I'm turning him into a project manager, so I have to do even less, but they'll never leave, which is so, so nice and so comforting. So, okay, so here's another question. What do they know when you hire them? And if they saw your potential earnings, what would they do? I will tell you that I give my people access to everything. They're the ones who join the affiliate programs for me. They're the ones who do the affiliate reporting. They know exactly what we're spending on AdWords. They know exactly what the income is. The chances of them going off and doing it on their own are very slim. I will not say it's zero, but I've never seen it happen. They don't have the means to do it. They don't have a credit card to go spend on Google AdWords. They don't have a way to receive a check from an American company. They don't have PayPal very often. PayPal is very new in the Philippines. They're not entrepreneurial. Let me tell you, it's just to put this issue to rest. I know a guy who's been working with Filipinos for the last 10 years. He is an American entrepreneur, and he was there for a couple of years and said, wow, these people could really use some entrepreneurial training. So for the past 10 years, he has been training them. He set up an entrepreneurial training school. And he says it's so bad. They want a job so badly. They're so not entrepreneurial that he would not work with me in what I'm doing, where he's training these people to be entrepreneurs and I'm providing them jobs. He said, I'm sorry, we can't work together. Because if they knew that there was the potential for a job, none of them, after going through my training, would try and start a business. They do not want to. It's not in their blood. I'm sorry, we can't work together. So that's you know, some pretty good experience of they want a job. And you know, this question was, they're generating all this money for you and they're only getting paid $250 a month. They don't want to do it on their own. It's just not, that's not how their culture is. So do I have a bonus structure in rewarding them? We don't really have a bonus structure. We just kind of say, I feel like it's time. And anything else on that, Dan?
Well, I'm going to add that it doesn't matter what we do either. I mean, you guys are running your own business. If you have a particular business that makes sense to offer a bonus on you know, with performance incentives that they've done, then offer a bonus. You know, I mean, we can't make all the decisions for you. I mean, we could offer our advice and what we think, but if it makes sense for your business, then I would say go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Is it okay to let your employee know that you're not an experienced internet marketer? They don't know what internet marketing is, first of all. And so do they know if you're experienced or not? They will as soon as you start telling them tasks to do. And if you have no clue, you know, I mean, this comes back to you have to understand your business. But, you know, if you're not an experienced internet marketer, okay, go out and learn it. There's enough training material out there. You know, I'm willing, if you're not an experienced internet marketer, my bet is you have 10 different things on your hard drive that are sitting there that you haven't spent time watching or listening or reading or whatever. Go back and spend your time going through that training instead of trying to implement things and have them do the implementation once you've understood the training. I wish I had a better answer than that, but I don't.
Well, or just have them do all of it. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, for some people who don't have a lot of time, just go ahead and give them the login to, like, Niche Profit Classroom and say, learn this and go implement it.
Yeah.
You won't know exactly what you're doing, but on the the flip side, it takes you zero time now.
Yeah.
So,
which that's what I've been doing. You heard my experience with Niche Profit Classroom and with the Joel Peterson mini site, whatever he calls it. Yes, I went through the trainings, but mostly I sent them to the trainings and said, you know, go watch this. And you know, they've been through all of my training that's inside Replace Myself, so they know, they understand somewhat what we're doing because they've been through all of my training. So when I give them something like this, they can go through and say, okay, you know, I understand what's going on here. And they'll say, oh, hey, sir, we need to buy a domain for this. What do you want? Hey, sir, I really think that these keywords would be really good for this. What do you think? When I didn't have to think about that. I didn't have to think about doing keyword research. Oh, hey, sir, I think that we should use ClickBank here instead of PayPal. What do you think? Sure, great. I don't care. You know, but the point is that they're thinking now because they've been through all that training. Give them any training you can give them. Like I said before, they're not going to go off and do it on their own. Here's another question. I'm still unclear on exactly what to give a new worker to get them started. Well, if you are implementing step-by-step profit, give them step one. If you're implementing Niche Profit Classroom, assuming that you have been through the steps, go give them the steps that you haven't done already. You know, give them access to your AdWords account. Give them the business in a box and say, go implement this. I don't know how many of you guys went through the business in a box. I know most people probably didn't. Let me tell you what it is real quick. It's AdWords training, number one, very, very specific AdWords training on how to set up campaigns. It's also very, very specific stuff on what kind of products you're looking to pick. So it tells them what affiliate accounts to sign up for, tells them exactly what kind of products they're looking for, tells them how to set up the AdWords account, the campaign. It tells them what keywords to bid on and how much to bid and how to write the ads, right? So that business in a box training right there, I mean, that's pretty clear. You know, it says only bid on the product name, and if it's a ClickBank product, bid on the author and bid on the URL. And those are the only three things you're bidding on. And then it says, bid 30 cents to start off with. And if you don't get enough clicks, raise your bid. If you get enough clicks, lower your bid. And then start monitoring. I mean, it's pretty specific. And most of these programs are. Niche Profit Classroom is very specific. It says, go on to Amazon and find a niche like this. Here's what you're looking for. Go tell them to go create a spreadsheet with niches, you know, with all the research. Or Joel Peterson stuff says, here's how you're setting it up. You're going to set up WordPress. You're going to use this plugin. You're going to use that plugin. Here's the hosting. Here's what you're doing with it. Okay, go do this, right? So that's the first thing you're going to do is give them step one of whatever business model you are following. Okay, I'm reading questions again. Dan, anything to add while I read?
Not on that, no.
Okay. We've already kind of answered this question, but what initial qualifications are you looking for? This person's doing affiliate marketing. English. I want them to understand English. I want them to write good English. That's pretty much the only thing I want. What's a reasonable salary level? $250 a month is reasonable. You know, and depending on what you find, I just hired someone full time, $300 a month. She speaks very good English. She is going to be doing phone calling for me. So, you know, speaking very good English at $300 a month, that, you know, that's pretty good. So she's done T-Mobile phone support for the last year or so. I don't know. So, you know, if you're a T-Mobile person, you may have talked to her. You know, I think you'll probably know that she's not an American, but she's certainly not an Indian when you talk to her on the phone. So.
Let me help you, John.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the next one, and this is an interesting one. I think we get this all the time. How do you go about outsourcing the mini site formula? This is specifically about that one, and this applies to anything that you're doing in your business. There are many different tasks to get one site built. Research, domain, hosting, installation, content promotion. I am doing this. I have one person doing all of this. In fact, I have three people doing all of this, three people doing every task. I want them to understand every task so that they know why they're doing every task. I have never found a need to separate things so that they don't go do it on their own. With Americans, different story. You have to separate, or they will leave you, and they will go do it on their own. I haven't had this need with people in the Philippines. So I will give them all access to everything, and individually I want them to do it. And after that, we'll specialize. We'll start having each person do a different thing. But I want them to understand the full thing so that they do it correctly with other things in mind, not just the single thing in mind. So, okay, I find it difficult sometimes to have them. Okay, this comes back. Okay, this is interesting. We'll talk about this for a second. So this person says, I find it difficult to train them on things that I could do faster, better. I did too for a long time, where I knew that I could do something, and it kind of got to the point where, for me, I had learned, and this takes a change in your mindset more than just hiring someone, because most of us as Americans, we are used to working our butts off to get something done, and it kind of takes a change in mindset to say, even if this takes me 10 minutes, I'm going to send an email, and it'll take me 30 seconds, and I can move on to something that's more productive for me, something that makes me more money, something that's gonna make me money instead of just a blah task. Because the next time this has to be done, which it's going to have to be done again, I'm going to say, do this again, and it only takes me 10 seconds the next time, right? And the point isn't those 20 seconds or the 30 seconds or whatever. The point is that this task is now out of your head, and you can think, you can use your brain to think about more important things than getting that task done, than setting up an autoresponder account, which is going to take you 10 minutes, it's going to take them 3 hours. But you're going to have to do it again. It's better than setting up a WordPress blog or even logging in and checking your reporting on stuff and seeing how well did this do, have we made any money, has there been conversions or whatever. Instead of spending the time doing that, you can think about how to improve your business. And this, I'll tell you right now, this has been one of the biggest things in my business success. Outside of just having other people do for me, what this really big side effect that most people don't realize when you start doing this is, it frees you up to think clearly. Where before, if you're worried about implementing details and things, your brain only has so much power to do stuff. If you're worried about doing those little things, you're not thinking about the big picture. You're not thinking about how to improve your business or we have this problem. Why isn't it working? How could I solve it? Because you're worried about that little box on the right side of your WordPress blog and how do I fix that? Right. So this has been probably the biggest effect on my business and on my life in doing this is that it freed up my brain to think about more important things. And so when you ask, I have a hard time giving people stuff to do. Okay, this is going to take some time for you to condition yourself to just give it to them anyways. But the point of this isn't just to have them do stuff. The point is to free your mind to think about more important things. And I'm not going to get into esoteric stuff here, whatever, but I'll tell you that has been the single biggest change in my life since I started doing this, was it let me free my brain, which my brain's good at thinking about. It's good at thinking about business, and it's good at figuring out solutions to problems, and it's good at programming, but figuring out solutions to business problems is way more profitable than programming. Okay? I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and I really like what you said. You do have to condition yourself. Like, I remember going through a period where I didn't want to give out any of the work because I only thought that I could do it. Or I thought, it's going to take them longer than it would take me to do it. So why would I? I might as well just do it myself. Or it's like, I think I am kind of the only person who can do this. They can't do it. Kind of that kind of like pride kind of type issue. But you can. They can do it. You have to condition yourself. You have to take that leap of faith that they can do it for you. Even if it takes them longer in the beginning, they'll keep getting better at it, and then all of a sudden you're going to have all this time that you have, then you can concentrate on your business. And that's what liberating is all about.
Yeah. So let me add to this. we have some extraordinary people working for us. We have really good people. But it's not like we've been through 50 people to find the 8 that are working for us. I think, and maybe you tell me if you're wrong, Dan, I let 2 people go in the very beginning when I started because they weren't working. And then I found the 3rd one I kept. He's been with me for over 3 years now. Other than that, we have never let someone go. We haven't, like, been through a ton of trials with people, right? I mean, we've had 2 people leave because they got jobs in Singapore making 5 times as much. But, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Dan.
No, keep going. You're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying we – it's not like we've been, like, super, super picky on who we hire, but we have some really, really good people. And, you know, you give them things to do, and they'll do it, and they figure it out, and they do it how I want it done. And I think that people – kind of think that they have to go through and get the exact right person for them. And I don't agree with that. You need to find someone to start implementing. And as they learn more, they'll be more and more valuable to you.
Yeah.
Okay, another question.
On to the next question I have for you.
Okay. Do you have your guys in the Philippines work together or always through you? Do your workers collaborate? Yes, they do collaborate. In fact, I think the more they collaborate, the better, because the less I have to deal with. And so I'll send emails to my people where I've sent one email to one person, and now I'm sending it to the other person. I'll say, ask that guy about how to do this. He has the instructions. And so then I don't have to hear about it. I don't have to go back and find the instructions. Or I'll say, to one of my guys, I'll say, I want to do this. You can have that person do this piece of it. You can have someone, I don't care what you do. You know, start handing out tasks. In fact, I recently sent an email to all of them saying, this person's kind of going to start becoming a project manager, so he's going to start giving you guys tasks to do. I want you to continue to email me because I want to know what's going on, but you can expect him to be giving you some tasks. So now when they email me, they say, I did this. I'll talk to him about the next task, which is super nice. It's one less thing for me, and now I can, you know, just run all my stuff through one person, and that's really helpful. So, yes, I do have them collaborate, and I think that it is helpful because, number one, it gets things out of my head again, where I don't have to go back and find that username and password. I just ask him for it because he has it. And then also I find that they can specialize a bit more on their own on what they're good at. So, are my workers always busy or they sometimes have nothing to do? Sometimes they have nothing to do, and, yes, I still pay them. It's not their fault that I haven't given them something to do. You know, for me, when I think about the Philippines, it is an underdeveloped nation. I'm paying them $300 a month. If you weren't busy for 6 days of that month, I'm not going to give you $250. That's me. You know, this is up to you guys to decide, but I think you'll find your employees will be exceptionally loyal, and the longer they're with you, the more valuable they are to you as you have them. So, no, they're not always busy. Yes, I still pay them. Now,
yeah,
that being said, I do try and give them tasks that they can always – there's something that they can always be doing. You can always go back and do article marketing. You can always go back and make forum posts. You can always go back and do the business in a box. You can always go back and you know, whatever it is. You can go back and monitor the AdWords campaigns or set – I don't know. I always try and give them tasks like that. For my programmers even, I try and give them stuff – here's a side project. When you don't have something to work on, when we don't have something more pressing, I want you to do this. In fact, recently I gave one of my guys, I want you to create a theme for my BlackBerry because I'm not happy with the themes that I have. And that was, and I want you to do the secondary. This is when you don't have something else to do, this is what I want you to work on. And so when he didn't have something to do, he works on the theme, and I get a new theme, you know, I don't know, a month and a half later, that's really nice, really well done, right? And that's something, you know, totally unrelated to my business. But it could have been, in the past, it has been stuff that was very related, very relevant. In fact, one of our major pieces of software came from this, where he's working on something else. When you don't have something to do, I want you to do this for me. Implement this little thing for me. And it turned out to be so good. It turned out to be a really, really big thing for us, where it was, you know, kind of like the Google projects. You know, you can spend 20% of your time working on anything you want, right? And what he had done, and it wasn't anything you wanted, it was something I had asked him to do on the side, it was so good, we ended up selling it. So, no, they're not always busy. Okay, let's move on.
I mean, the thing is, you know, just like John said, that you have all these, you know, secondary tasks like the business in a box or creating, you know, more article marketing, whatever. Just try not to let it stress you out so much. You're not paying them very much. If you're adding a lot of stress to your life, that is the exact opposite goal that you're doing for hiring a Filipino. You want less stress in your life, not more. So
very true. Yeah, very true. Okay, so here's a question about I want to outsource to people to have them monetize my WordPress blogs. I'm not sure the most effective way to do that. Yeah, you're right in saying if I tell them to monetize my blogs, they won't know the what the heck you're doing. You have to understand your business. You have to understand how you're going to monetize them. Once you understand that, tell them to do it. For example, you say, okay, I think that doing AdSense is the best way to monetize these blogs. Go in and make a Jing video. Say, I want you to put AdSense on this site right here, and then track it and see how well it gets clicked, and install a WordPress plugin to put ads in other places on the blog and track and see which one's making us the most money, right? That video doesn't take you very long. You got to send them your AdSense username and password. That might take you another minute, but other than that, once you've figured that out, or you can say, hey, I want you to figure out how to monetize a blog. Go read some stuff on how to monetize a blog and come give me some ideas. And they'll send you an email the next day. Here's what I found. Here's what I think, and that may lead you to some other ideas. I've done that a couple times where I say, I don't really know how we're doing this, guys, or how to do this, or what we're going to do. Go figure it out and send me some ideas. And, you know, you'll get some pretty good ideas, stuff that you wouldn't have thought of maybe the next day. Sometimes it may not work. You may not get anything. But, you know, it cost you like $6 to have that nothing. So, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. Okay, next.
I'm trying to find the next question that we haven't really talked about yet.
Okay. You know, Dan, why don't you put together, why don't you keep, like I said, we have like 150 questions here, and we're trying to figure out what we've done. Oh, you know what, here's another one that we talked about, copywriting. What template systems are you having your VAs follow for writing sales letter or email copy? I don't have them write emails for me. No, that's not true. I did have them write emails. And sales letters, I'll tell you what I do. Number one, I have some, and I've already mentioned this, I have some sales copy training that I bought or got for free, I don't know, years ago. But I know it's really good, so I recently sent it to one of my girls and said, learn this. And I said, here are some example pages that you can use as templates. You know, I gave them like six different ones that I like. And I'll tell you, one of them was 43splittests.com. That's one that I always send people to. It's a Ryan Dice page, very well done. And I know, I'm very confident that it converts really well. And so copying that is going to work. You know, that's a big part of the conversion already. And then, you know, I have some material on headlines and whatever, so I just sent that to them. And you know what? The copy the first time was not good. But I had to redo it. And I didn't have to do anything with it. I just looked at it and said, this is not very good. Go figure out how to write better headlines. And I gave her an example. You know, that took me like 4 minutes, and instead of having to go and fix it myself or do it myself or think about it myself, I didn't have to. So, next question. Okay, so people asking to work full-time alongside their current jobs. You know, if I really wanted that person, I would do it. And I would just say, you know, I would set forth stipulations in the beginning. And in fact, the person that I hired recently to do English stuff, I think she has a job, but I don't think I have enough to keep her busy full time. So I said, okay, I want to try this. I want you to tell me how much time you spend doing this, but here's what I'm going to pay you, and here's how this is going to work. You know, I need to know that you're going to be available outside of your other job. So that is something I will establish in the beginning is, do you have another job? You got to understand, if this person is qualified for you, there's probably a reason they have another job. It's because they're qualified. And for them to quit a job to work another job where it's maybe not so secure, because you may let them go in 3 months, that's pretty dangerous. So I would even maybe have them start part-time in that case and have them, you know, see how it is. And then once they're, once you've seen, yeah, this is really good with this person, maybe get them to quit that other job. So I wouldn't necessarily stay away from them if I knew that they were qualified. So, okay, I'm looking at other, okay, here's another question. What is the best job? Okay, when looking for best jobs to look for prospective employees, do you find that there's always a constant refreshing of talent? Yes, I have found that, and I have found that numerous times, that there are constantly new resumes. And then if you look through, and it, you know, it, obviously it takes time, but recently I stopped looking 1 month or less. I just started searching for my keywords, because I found, you know, as I've done this over the last 10 months or so, it has become more competitive finding people there. And so I stopped searching 1 month or less, and that's why I say email 20 people and see what kind of response you get. But if you wait another month, you'll get different people to email. So do you have them do your bookkeeping? No, I don't, but I know other people who do. In order to build – okay, let me talk for a second about when you should hire a programmer. I was a programmer. And both Dan and I did programming, and neither of us are doing it anymore. But when we started, we were doing all of the actual programming, not HTML, not design. Neither of us had ever done any design work, but like database back-end programming. If you are going to be doing a website that requires a database, not WordPress, but something that requires very custom to make it work stuff, go hire a programmer. But otherwise, if you're setting up WordPress, if you're doing content creation, if you're doing Joel Peterson's mini site stuff, you don't need a programmer. You don't need a PHP person. You need a person who understands the internet. You need someone who speaks English. You may want a webmaster, a designer, or something. But you don't. You very rarely do people that think they need a programmer actually need a programmer. They need someone who can do web stuff. Which, along with that, here's another interesting idea. I've been talking with Marlon Sanders quite a bit recently. And Marlon, if you're there, hey, I think he's on the call today. So Marlon is interested in hiring a graphics person. And when he told me that, I said, why? I mean, how often do you really need good graphics done? He said, well, you know, I need them done often enough that I'd like to have someone full-time, but besides that, if I hire a good graphics person, I can also have them do other stuff for me, like webmaster stuff. Oh, yeah, that's a really good point, right? I hadn't thought of that. So, you know, he's going to hire someone to do something he needs sometimes, but that person will also fill in other needs in his business, because someone who does graphics really well is likely to understand the internet. You know, they're likely to understand FTP. And if they don't, they can learn it, right? Someone who does programming really well can sometimes write. You know, I would not hire someone to do programming and design unless you've seen that person is a good programmer and a good designer, because it is super, super rare to find that person. So, you know, that was a good idea from Marlon that I got. Okay, I'm just going to do one last look through these questions. We've gone over an hour now, and I think we've covered most of the things. You know, Dan, maybe we should unmute this and see. I'm going to unmute this and see, take some questions. Or actually, if you have questions right now, why don't you unmute yourself? I think you can press *6 to unmute, and then you should be able to ask a question. So, again, *6, try and unmute yourself if you have questions.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned one tool that you were using, I think, for doing the it was the one that you're using to do payments, and I couldn't really catch that. What was that?
Xoom.com? XOOM.com.
That's the problem. Okay.
Is that
the only one you recommend?
No, eMoneyGram is also good, but I use Xoom.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Hi, John. I think the software for the monitoring one, Rescue Time, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that R-E-S-C-U-E and time?
Rescue Time, R-E-S-C-U-E-T-I-M-E .com.
All right. Okay. Now, if I'm not... Yeah, you are adding something.
Hello?
Oh. Yeah, hello.
Hi. I had one quick question. How much time would you think it would take to have someone just implement the mini site formula, if that's all you wanted them to do?
So implementing the mini site formula is a process, and you know, I know that Joel has hundreds and hundreds of sites, which he has spent over a year building. I know that. So how much time would I think it would take to get one site built? Oh man,
not
I sent one of my
not one site built specifically, just to manage that whole process of building all of these sites and doing all of this stuff.
I would say that's a never-ending process. It's not something you start for and you do it for a month and you're done, because you're, you know, it,
well,
I
meant time during the day, like part-time or full-time, not necessarily a month or two. No, I know that.
Oh, you mean could someone do it part-time for you?
Someone part-time, or what skills? Like, you know, if that's the only thing I had for them to do, and I just needed somebody to get started and get the ball rolling doing it, then part-time, a few hours, you know.
Could they do that? Could they do that part-time? Yes. Could they do it full-time? Yes. I'll tell you that one of the people that I have, last week I sent her the email saying, I want you to go through the mini-site formula, I want you to implement it. And I know she's going to have questions because she hasn't been with me for very long and she doesn't have all the access and she doesn't have my credit cards and whatever. But, yeah, that's the only thing I have her doing right now. So.
And she's going to be working on that full-time? Well.
Yes. And the only qualification she has is English.
So about what would be a good salary, would you think, for somebody who's only doing that?
I would say that you could find someone between $200 and $400 a month. You know, if you find a $400 a month person, they're going to be pretty good. If you're going to find a $200 a month person, it may take a little bit more from you.
Well, that's full time, though.
Yes.
Full time. Okay.
And if you wanted to find someone part time, I would bet that you could find someone and pay them, you know, $100 to $200 a month for part time work.
Okay.
John.
Yes.
Now, how if you're not a programmer, nor a copywriter, how do you know if the job is do a good job? If I get, you know.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for that. I mean, for you know, like I said, Dan and I are both programmers, so we know. But I would say if you're talking about building like an elaborate system, a large system that you know, performance is going to matter, and you know, if you may want to get someone who knows better, or maybe you want to hire a more expensive PHP programmer in the Philippines. In general, the more expensive someone is, the more experience they have, and for programmers, I will say that almost across the board, that is the case. The more expensive they are, the better they are, and so if you're finding someone who's very cheap, you know, I don't know if I would expect a ton, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's as good of an answer as I have.
Okay. Now, how do you fire somebody that you don't want to work with anymore?
I don't know. I've never done it. I did it twice. I said I did it twice in the beginning, but that was through Agents of Value, so they fired them for me, so I don't know.
Oh, they did. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I mean, If you need to fire them, you say, you know, we really, you just be cordial about it, is what I would do. You know, send them a nice email, say thank you very much for the work. You need to pay them for the work that they did. You know, don't screw them the money that they deserve.
Okay.
You know, it's a pleasure working with you, but I don't think it's going to work out. All you have to do is just send them an email and allow them.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, one other thing, though, that I will say is that it is a good idea before you fire someone to possibly go ahead and go change the passwords to some of the critical stuff that you have.
Okay. And
that's a precaution.
Okay. I'm talking about now, would that be in your contract with them that needs to be?
Did any contract that you had with them, you know, like the example contracts that are in the first training, would that be a non-disclosure agreement and an independent contractor agreement? And usually that's just, you know, talking about you're not going to, you know, copy my stuff and give it to some other company. And there is no contract. It's just, you know, we hire you and then, you know, we'll fire you if necessary. Like, for example, if you go work for someone here in the U.S. and they fire you, you're out. There's no contract. I mean,
okay.
It's the exact same.
All right.
Yeah, I want to say that just so, because we get this asked quite a bit. We put those contracts in there because people wanted them. We have never made someone sign a contract.
Yeah, and I say that on the page.
Other questions?
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
I just wondered about using a program, a website, an employment site for freelancers called Odesk. That it allows you to monitor them hour by hour.
Right. So let me tell you, I have never used Odesk. I've looked at it.
Yeah.
I did talk to someone recently who said they were. They had just barely glanced at Best Jobs, and they didn't get a response from the two people they emailed, so they went and hired someone on Odesk. They're paying them $400 a week, but the person's working for them, and it's good. Okay, you know, if that works out for you, fine. You know, you're overpaying by about four times, but, you know, that's fine. So, you know, Rescue Time will pretty much let you do what Odesk does, and you can use Rescue Time for free. But if you're gonna use Odesk to find someone, I would say it is a good source of talent. You may have a hard time trying to get that person to leave Odesk and come work for you afterwards because you're already overpaying them. So that may be difficult.
Right.
John, I have a question to ask you.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry if I'm beating a dead horse here. On the because you've got a programming background, I'm basically with my website. I just need somebody that can set up a website for profit to sell certain products that I have. A person that you think that's got an understanding of WordPress probably would be okay for something like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand totally what you're doing.
What I'm doing is there's a guy that I'm interested in possibly hiring, and he's got experience with blogs and looks like WordPress.
Okay.
Distinguish between needing a programmer and needing somebody that can do WordPress, because I'm very limited in my knowledge about that. Would you think that for the average person, for someone like myself, that my visions are to set up different websites to sell different products, somebody that has a good understanding of WordPress or that you could teach about WordPress, do you think they would be sufficient for that kind of task?
Yes.
Is that clear?
When
you talk about programming and I'm not sure what that means as needing a programmer for, but what I've seen with WordPress and all the skins they've got, that can be used to sell different products and create different sites, correct?
Yeah, based on what you said just now, I would say 95% you do not need a programmer. You need someone who speaks English.
And maybe someone with some design ability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, although I'm not sure you even need design if you're doing WordPress. You know, there's tons of free WordPress themes out there. And I don't know what you're doing, but based on what you just said, if I were going to be putting up websites with products on them, I would use WordPress. That is so simple.
Yeah, I'm going to be selling CDs and CD courses and different stuff like that.
So simple to use WordPress for that, and no, you don't need programming for it.
Okay, I've got a guy who seems really good, and I just wasn't sure about that. Okay, I appreciate everything, and your course is great. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Welcome.
This is Andre.
Communications.
This is Andre.
Sorry,
general question about the hiring. Would you, if I'm thinking long term always, and I'm thinking, is it better to hire somebody who really has not a lot of ideas, not a lot of experience, and then train him up, or to look better for somebody who has already got experience?
I don't know. I don't know. I would say that I have done both, and it has worked out both ways. You know, the longer that, you know, I would say if you're hiring someone with less experience in the beginning, they're going to be less useful to you. They'll still be useful, but not as good as someone who has experience. But if you can't keep that person who has experience long term, then that's not all that helpful to you. I don't know. Dan?
Yeah, it totally depends on what kind of business you have and what your situation is. I mean, if you don't have a lot of money to pay for a person, then, okay, you could probably go on a hire a person that doesn't have a lot of experience. They still the cost less. But, you know, one of the whole goals of the Replace Myself to come is to eventually train them up and to be an excellent internet marketer for you.
Right.
And so instead of paying, you know, $400 to $500 a month, you're paying, you know, $200 to $250 a month for that person. And, you know, they probably aren't going to work half as good for you. I mean, maybe they'll work 80% as good for you. But on the other hand, maybe your business needs a person right away to implement something that you need done, like in 2 months. So you might have to go, it would be better for your business to hire a person that's very experienced. There's no one answer to that type of question.
Right.
Okay, hi, John. This is Therese. I just wanted to
say
so much. It has been a lifesaver, and I am so loving your, you know, site, all the information, and I've hired a number of people, and they've made me money. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and you are welcome. This is why we did this. So.
Hey, John, real quick question.
John, Dan?
Yes.
Hey,
I apologize for cutting in. She had that question.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Monty, and we've emailed multiple people and have been waiting, gosh, over a week now, and still haven't received any response from anybody, and we're very specific as to what we're looking for. I don't know if we're getting looked at as spam or what, but maybe you could give me some ideas as to how to get some response from some of these people. We're getting
email
done.
More people. Email more people. I mean, literally, that's the only answer I have. That's because I've done this over and over again, and that's what I always have to do: email more people. If you don't hear from them within 2 days, you're not going to hear from them. In all likelihood, you're not going to hear from them. So I would, you know, email those people again, and email more people. That's it.
And John, I would also add that some of the users have sent in, you know, their example emails that they've sent to people, and some of them are actually kind of scary, like. You know, they sound very strict in their email saying, you know, you have to do this first task for me or you're not going to be hired, or I'm only going to pay you like $50 for the first month and then, you know, scale pay based on performance. You need to sell yourself as well. You know, this is an email to a person that is possibly getting other emails from other people. You need to establish that you are a good person to work for, and
that's a good point. You know, literally the email that I send when I'm looking to hire someone is the subject is are you still looking for a job, and the body is I'm looking. I have a full-time position open. It will require. Usually, I won't tell them any specifics. It will require speaking English and knowledge of the internet. Are you interested? That's it. Right? So then I can at least start a conversation with them. And then once I get that back, if I get a response, I'll go back and look at the resume and say, oh, yeah, I was just only kind of interested in this person. Let me hold off until I see what other responses I get. Or, yeah, this is the person I want. Let me make, you know, I want to pay you $300 a month. I want to pay you $400 a month. You know, I'll go look at what they're expecting, whatever. When can you start? Right? Did I answer it?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
John, I have a question about communication.
Yes.
I have a guy that he misses a lot of my instructions. I'll send him an email with some instructions in them, and he does one thing, and he misses out three things. I'm wondering, is this typical of dealing with someone who uses a different language, or is this, do you think, maybe specific to my guy?
This is not... I don't have this experience. One thing you may want to try and do is use, instead of email, maybe use a project management system. Use my project plans and put the tasks in there And then when he's done one of the things, he sees that there are other things to do still.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have a project that you create, and each project can have milestones and to-do lists.
Okay, I'm
and,
still
you
know, trying to figure out how to use that.
Well, if you have any questions about it, you just go ahead and send me an email to support@replacemyself.com, and I'll help you out.
Okay, because I put a project on there, but then when he logs in, he doesn't see that project.
Take a look, you have to sign permission. Take a look at the third My Project Plans training module.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, training video that's on the first training module on replacemyself.com.
Okay.
I explain how the whole project assignment things work.
Okay. But as far as communications to a Filipino, that's sort of not typical. You haven't experienced that then.
No.
Hey, no, but sometimes they might miss something and
yeah.
you just have to
yeah.
hey,
it's just pretty consistent.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Yes.
Hi, am I on?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, great. Hey, John, Scott Jordan here from Denver. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. By the way, I gave Jeff a little garbage this weekend.
Thank you.
No problem. Let's see. First of all, thank you very much for your work. I hired my first person in November, and I was also really glad that you told us that it takes 20 people sometimes in order to get, you know, the right one.
Right.
Because, you know, knowing that, it makes it a little bit easier. I went through three in order to get one. I'm looking to hire a second person now. Is it common that they don't have headsets so that you can engage in a conversation over Yahoo or some sort of instant messenger tool? Because three people I've talked to don't have headsets, but sounds like they can get one if they want. Have you found
very that? Common? I think we have bought two or three headsets for our people. So that's very common. There, just so you know, ask them if there is a ask them for their phone number because you could call them on the phone. Or I know that I have seen like a free I don't know what it is. There's a free phone thing where they can make like a 10-minute phone call for free, and I've had them call me using that before when I didn't know what the situation was. So they'd call me on that free thing, whatever. So
really, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
Like. Things like Skype out, you know, you can call the Philippines for 10 to 17 cents a minute.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to, you could call them if you want.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I've been IMing them, and I've been doing the chat back and forth and doing it in a slightly different, manner than you guys have been doing. And I missed the very beginning of the call, but it sounded like you were talking about you go ahead and search for people on that have posted their resumes and then respond to 20 of them, and then is the process after you weed through the resumes, then go ahead and talk on the phone and do like an interview like you would with someone here in the U.S.?
You know, I only talk on the phone with the person if they're going to be doing phone calls for me, because otherwise I don't really think that I need to talk on the phone with them. I will, you know, I have specific tasks that I want them to do, and I'll just go through email, you know, go through best jobs, email 20 people, four of them respond, I'll pick the best one and say, I want to offer you a job, here's your first task, get started.
Okay, so you actually offer them the job first. What I've been doing is I've been saying, I want to see how you do a task first, and then if I like the task, I will go ahead and hire you based on that. Giving them some incentive to, you know, do their best work.
Yeah, and I,
You know, you don't want to sound too scary in your first email. A lot of these people think, oh, you know what, that person is just trying to get me to do a task for them for free.
Yeah.
But if they, you know, I'm not going to do all this work and not get paid or, you know, you send that email saying, I'm not going to hire you until, you know, you do this task. And then they get another email from another person saying, hey, I want to hire you. Who do you think they're going
to? Yeah, you just lost someone.
Gotcha. Okay. So, what I've been doing to modify that or try something different is to tell them that I will go ahead, if I hire them, tell me how long it took so I get an idea of how long, you know, it takes for them to put up a blog or whatever, and then I will go ahead and include that in your pay for the month.
Yeah. You know, maybe doing it, so one, just as to make it a little bit easier, I hire them first and tell them this is going to be a trial. We're gonna have a trial the first month. I'm going to pay you, but we'll see how the work goes, and then we'll determine final salary. You know, initially I think your salary is going to be $300. Do the first month, and we'll determine what the real salary is. And also, you know, we have this trial to see if it doesn't work out. But I tell them they have a job, right?
Okay.
So.
No, I also
pipe this in. You know, if you're having trouble finding people, or that you know you're not getting replies to people, you can also make your own job posting there on bestjobs.ph, and people will start contacting you.
Yeah, I've had good luck with that, actually, them contacting me. I hadn't reached out and contacted them. One other last question. On squeeze pages, do you allow them to come up with the text? And I'm right now trying to regenerate a squeeze page. How do you go about getting that done?
Well, that, you know, that's writing copy. That's writing sales copy. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, if you get someone that can do it, great. But, you know, unless you're hiring an experienced copywriter, chances are pretty good that you're not going to get great copy back for a squeeze page, you know. And so, you know, that may be something you want to take into consideration. How good does this copy need to be on this squeeze page, right? In a market that I was just doing stuff in, it doesn't need to be great. It just needs to be okay, and people are opting in. But it, you know, if it's in a how to make money market, it needs to be pretty dang good, and I would not have them do it. If it's in weight loss, I wouldn't have them do it.
Do you have a template on your website for what you use, or what tool do you use to create those?
No, I use Jing and examples. I just say, here's what I want done. Here are examples that I like. I like this from this page. I like this from this page. And I make a video and send it to them.
And then you just adjust the copy once it comes back?
Could be, yeah. Or I'll just say, test it. I don't even want to read the copy. We'll just test it, run it, and test it and see how it works.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. All right. Great. It sounds like you use a U.S.-based project manager, and then they communicate directly with the Philippines. Is that how you do it?
No. I don't. Either Dan or I are the project manager, or one of my guys in the Philippines is the project manager.
No
so
kidding.
I don't have a project manager, really.
Okay. Great. Well, I'll turn it back to you guys. Thank you. Keep up the work.
Other questions?
Can you talk about the pre-found employee?
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Sure, you mean the pre-found employee list? What would you like to know? Hello?
How are they screened? What are the qualifications you're looking for?
The pre-found employee list, you know, we do look at the resumes and... That's loud. Basically, the pre-found employee list is that, you know, we search, we have a few headhunters there in the Philippines, and we also look through, you know, sites like Best Jobs. Basically, what we do is we contact... Sorry. Okay. We contact...
Sorry.
We wait for their replies. You know, we determine that they have their own computers, that they have their own internet access, that they are available for work, you know, that they are willing to work, you know, for the set amount of time, like 20 hours for part-time or 40 hours for full-time. You know, to kind of take out all of that hassle for you. And that's what the pre-found employee list is.
Yeah, as of right now, we haven't, like, giving them the difficult first task. Just so you know, we are going to start doing that, where we will qualify those people, saying this person did this well. Here they are. We're not doing that yet. We're just finding them, taking away some of the research difficulties, taking away some of the response difficulties from you. So, other questions?
What holidays are expected off in the Philippines?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
What holidays are expected to be off for private companies in the Philippines?
Dude. I don't know.
Holy Week.
There's like this Holy Week, and then they often have like Christmas. They tend to take like long Christmas vacations, but other than that, I don't know. There are a couple others. I don't really know which ones they are.
So your guys don't really expect any specific holidays off during the year other than those two?
No, I think there are, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. For the business in a box and working with AdSense, I tried to do it a little bit myself. I've been hesitant about, AdWords, because it seems like I always just spend a lot of money and nothing ever comes back from it. And you said, you spend $10, but I find it's much more than that I spend before I realize it's not really working. Do you have any way to determine, how much you should spend before you just totally change your strategy, or, how much... Do you judge it by a day or by a week, or how do you go about managing the AdWords expense?
If I have spent more than the commission, I'm done.
Within how much time?
Well, it doesn't matter how much time.
I don't care how long. I'm just if it's a $20 commission and I've spent $22, I'm done.
Well, I guess, all right, so maybe let me rephrase the question. If you don't get any, how long do you wait before, if you haven't gotten any commissions yet and you're just getting clicks but nobody's buying, how long do you wait to see whether or not you're going to get commissions from those?
Commissions show up pretty quickly.
Okay.
It's rare for you to get a click and that person signed up, 2 months later.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
98% of the sales will be on that day of the click.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I've set up ads and I just get clicks but I don't get any commissions, am I just doing something wrong, or is it picking the wrong products? If that happens with one of the employees, how would I redirect them to make changes?
Are you only bidding on the product name?
Yeah, I followed your instructions, the name, the URL,
I would say it's probably just you picked a bad product. Because when you're doing that, it's pretty good. You're not going to get a lot of clicks. You're not going to get a lot of sales. You're not going to make a lot of sales. Of course, that depends on the product. But you should, it's a pretty sure way to be profitable with it.
Okay. And do you have an approach for picking the product?
There's some inside that training. There was some stuff. Other than just me thinking, saying, do I think that if the person is searching for this product name, are they ready to buy? That's really what I'm looking for.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna mute this real quick, just because we're getting some feedback. I'm gonna mute this, and then we'll let people unmute themselves again to make sure we answer all your questions. Hold on a second. Okay, I muted everyone again. If you have a question, go ahead and unmute yourself, *6, and we'll take some more questions. I think we've been on for quite a while now. I don't really know how long. Oh, 3:30, I think. So we've been on for an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 40 minutes. If any more questions, go ahead and unmute yourself. Otherwise, we'll probably wrap it up. Okay. I'm not getting any questions. So, Dan, are you still there? Can you hear me? Oh, you can't unmute yourself. Okay, hold on.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. I just unmuted everyone, though.
Okay, great. Say, I've got, thanks to you, I've got three Filipinos working for me.
Great.
I've got one gal that basically all she does is build mini nets. And I've got a guy that basically is going to start doing a affiliate marketing, and then I've got a guy that, or a gal that does nothing but write articles and blog content. I've got so many irons in the fire with all this stuff. Is one of these? Would it be a good idea, you think, to maybe see if one of these would be a good a project manager to kind of handle everything?
I would say that you could find someone like that. I mean, you can turn one of those people into it, but I don't know which one would be which, and I don't really know their skills, but I am doing that myself. So, oh boy, let me try this again. Hold on a second. Okay. Okay, I think you can unmute yourself now by pressing star 6. So again, I don't know those people's situations, but I will tell you, I have done that myself, where I'll tell you three people who speak English. One of their English is very good, one of them is just okay, and one of them is not very good. The one who is just okay is now a project manager. He has lots of knowledge on lots of different things. The other one writes articles and does all the writing. The other one does other tasks. The one whose English isn't very good, she just does other tasks. So I have done that with them. Did that answer the question? Dan, can you unmute? I think you can now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, other questions then? We're probably getting close to the end.
Yeah, no, okay. I just unmuted myself there, John, so okay. Yeah, well, I mean, when do you know when you're getting close to the point where you should hire a project manager?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay,
man.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
One of the things that is that's one of the joys of being your own boss.
That's
right?
True.
That's true.
Then I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, if there's no other questions, we're going to end. This is the last chance.
I have a question. Do you hear me?
Yes.
On the very first call, way back when you started this, and I've been a member since, I want to thank you guys for it.
Thank you.
You suggested having the Filipinos go ahead and work during their daytime rather than during the evening time that would line up with ours. Do you still have feelings like that, or do you have some people working on different hours? How do you find that out for you?
All of my people work during their daytime. I did just hire someone this week. The person's going to be doing phone calls. He is going to be doing, they're going to be working off hours. So not necessarily during their daytime. You know, I haven't had any experience since then with nighttime people, so I can't say any differently.
Richie does, though, John. I mean, I have experience. You know, we have one person that just likes to work there. He's like 21, and he works late hours. No, he's 22.
Okay.
He works late hours, and I get a lot of work done out of him, so I don't see any problem with it. But I think in general, most people still do like to work during their day, and I don't have any problem with that as long as they send a daily update email.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what they did when I wake up.
When they do work during their day, then we have a 14-hour time lag from here in Utah.
Uh-huh.
Do you find the person I've worked with a few times and then she just quit, the sense was that 14-hour time zone difference really delayed progress, and often there would be an extra day in there. I wondered if you had experiences like that, or do you pretty much line it up so that when you get up, it still overlaps their day or vice versa?
You know,
well, with the 14-hour time difference, I mean, sometimes usually I don't need to talk to my employees, so it's usually not a problem. But you know, if I have to get in contact with them, well, then I'll contact them at like 5 o'clock, because then that's when most of them start working. It's like around 5 or 6 o'clock at night, my nighttime, and that's not a problem for me because I only need to talk. If I need to talk to them, then it's only for like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a problem with it. And if you do have people collaborate with each other, that makes it nice because if they one of them do have a question, they can go ask the other employee during, you know, when you're asleep.
Hey, John, that brings up a good question. What are the phone numbers? What are the digits in order to call these folks over there? I mean, are there a country code?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's +63. Well, 63 is the country code. But if you just Google, like, Philippines International.
How to call the Philippines, you'll find it.
Ah, never thought of that. Duh. Okay, great.
Yeah, that's how I deal with it. Yeah, but it is 63 is the country code.
Cool, thanks.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Uh-huh.
No problem.
Hey, John, I just want to let you know, I think Dan's awesome, man. He answers my emails at night, and it's like, holy cow, is this guy never on the internet or what? So,
No, I very, very, very much agree with you. Dan and my partnership has worked out exceptionally well, and Dan is very talented. I hope that people understand that when they're talking with Dan, they're not getting slighted at all. You know, Dan knows every bit as much as I do. He does hiring. I'm just kind of the face of this, and Dan is very, very good. I don't know where I'd be without him. So
great.
Well, how about I think we're going to end. You know, I think this has been good for people. I think we'll probably do this again, maybe in a webinar format even. So we're going to end it here. I want to thank everyone for being on the call. I want to thank you for the questions you had, and I hope that this has been good for you. If you still have other questions, go ahead and send them in. We'll probably start compiling another questions list for the next time we do this. So. Again, this is John Jonas and Dan Goggins, and this was the Replace Myself question and answer call. Thank you for being here. Talk to you later.
Thank you.